VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. The White House announced history was made yesterday as leaders from Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain met with the president and signed the Abraham Accords. And these are said to normalize diplomatic relations between Israel and these two Arab nations. It's understanding that before this summer, only two such peace deals involving Israel had been negotiated in the past some seven decades, with the most recent one in the 1990s. And now we have a couple of these peace deals coming about. The President Trump told Israel's prime minister, "This is peace in the Middle East without blood all over the sand." President Trump also announced that there are more nations to come. So with analysis of the Abraham Accords, along with its prophetic significance, we welcome Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Dr. DeYoung is a longtime student of Bible prophecy. He is an expert on the Middle East. He does lead a ministry, Prophecy Today. He has spent many years living in Israel, as well as having led many trips there. He's a noted conference speaker, constantly monitoring news regarding Israel and the Middle East, provides a unique blend of political, biblical, and prophetic insight that's so absent from the media today. Dr. DeYoung, thanks for joining us.
My joy, Jim, and what an historic time we are going to be discussing today. It's amazing to watch how the prophetic scenario of God's Word is unfolding right in front of our very eyes each and every day.
Well, these are called the Abraham Accords, and we're going to have you break this down for us as to what happened yesterday. I mean, we're hearing terms like historic and monumental achievement and other descriptions, but tell us more about these accords, including the name itself, Abraham Accords.
Well, that's a misnomer. When you really start to go into the Word of God and find out who are the descendants of Abraham, you'll find out that indeed it's the Jewish people, not necessarily the Arab people or the Islamic people. You've got to remember that prior to Abraham coming on the scene, and I'm talking about almost 200 years before Abraham ever came on the scene, that would be Genesis chapter 12, you can look at the family members of Noah and the three boys that he had. So these would be grandsons of Noah. And when you look at the descendants of Ham, for example, Mizraim, that's mentioned in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis, and that's 200 years before Abraham comes on the scene. When you study the name Mizraim, that is talking about modern-day Egypt. It's the most populated Arab city in the world today. Over 100 million people live there. And then it says Put. That's modern-day Libya, another Arab city. And we continue on as we look at the genealogies after the flood took place about 4,500 years ago. And 200 years prior to the birth of Abraham, you're seeing Islamic nations, Arab nations today, that's what we refer to them as, they are alive and well on the earth scene. So it's very important. Abraham comes along, and we see that the birth in chapter 16 of the book of Genesis of Ishmael takes place. Abraham didn't start the Arab world. When Ishmael moved, the book of Genesis, chapter 25 and verse 18, says he went to a place that was at that time known as Arabia. Today it's Saudi Arabia. And that's the only nation, chapter 17 and verse 20 of Genesis, says that the only nation that Ishmael fathered was Arabia or Saudi Arabia today. So as we study the scriptures, we can see even the name of these accords is a misnomer. I like the idea. Most people think that. Most prophecy teachers teach that the Arab world came from Abraham. He really fathered the Jewish world through Isaac and Jacob. not the Arab world.
Very interesting. So even the name is a misnomer itself. Let's talk about the accords themselves. We understand they talk about exchanging of ambassadors, the establishment of embassies, and cooperation on a number of fronts like trade, security, tourism. Also said to allow Muslims to visit Islamic holy sites in Israel. Your thoughts on what these things really do include?
Well, that is an exciting development that we see coming about because of these accords taking place, the normalization of relationship between, first of all, it was the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. And then all of a sudden, last week, at the end of the week, there was an announcement about Bahrain, and they wanted to develop relationships as well. And so the Trump administration quickly moved to include them in the peace treaty signing at the White House. But there will be the exchange of the embassies, the ambassadors, and you're going to see great opportunities and economic ties that they'll put together, possibly even some military ties. But the economic ties and with the capability, and in fact, I've been listening to Israeli radio. There's so many Israelis excited about the fact they could go down to the Persian Gulf, go down to the United Arab Emirates, and have a visit down there. So this is an exciting development. But, of course, at the end of our program today, we're probably going to have to look at Bible prophecy, which helps us to understand how it's all going to play out.
Right, indeed. Do we know if these embassies will be in Jerusalem or some other location?
You know, that's a great question, Jim. I have not heard them make that statement. Of course, the United States has their embassy in the city of Jerusalem itself, and that was a promise that Donald Trump kept. There are many presidents over the last couple of decades who tried to pull together some type of a relationship or a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people, and that's a subject we probably ought to cover as well. But that has not been able to be the case, and all these presidents said they would move the embassy into Jerusalem. Well, Donald Trump followed through. But when we think about what will the United Arab Emirates and what will Bahrain do, where their embassies will be, we're not quite sure on that. I think they're still talking that through. Interesting side note that Kosovo and Serbia this last week also announced they were going to develop relationships with the Jewish state of Israel, and they would put their embassies in Jerusalem.
Now, this is the only place I saw it was on a CBN News report. They said that the deal Israel signed with the UAE is officially a peace treaty, but the deal that Israel signed with Bahrain is a declaration of intent to make peace with Bahrain.
Well, I think that was because of the fact this was such a hurried event that they wanted to have included when they were both there at the White House. Now, when they were announcing it, if you were listening to the telecast of what did take place at the White House, they said a peace treaty, not necessarily an intent. I was not able to be able to see it, but that intent is absolute. They're going to be moving forward, whether technically it was a peace treaty or that'll be later on that they bring into existence. They said they were signing peace treaties yesterday.
Is this something the Knesset will still have to vote on?
Absolutely. That was a part of how this whole thing came together. Technically, when you stop to think about it, there were no prime ministers there from the two Arab states. Those were secretaries of state, or they refer to them as foreign ministers in these Arab countries, the same thing as Mike Pompeo. But our foreign minister in Israel is a man named Ashkenazi. He was the former head of the Israeli Defense Force, chief of staff for them. He's a part of the coalition government that Netanyahu put together. And prior to Netanyahu coming into Washington, he had to give the power of attorney to Netanyahu to sign the peace treaty. I thought that was a very interesting development. But, of course, Netanyahu has been working on it for 25 years. He wanted the fruit of his work.
Now, while this was going on in Washington, D.C., there were events happening, unfolding in the Middle East, especially in targeted against Israel. Tell us what was happening.
From the Gaza Strip, that's where Hamas is located. And in your mind, if you can picture the state of Israel, you would look at the southwestern corner right there on the shores of the Mediterranean at Egypt's northern border there in Africa. And that's where the Gaza Strip would be located. By the way, that Gaza Strip was given back to the Palestinian people 15 years ago, 2005, which almost caused a civil war in the state of Israel, and it's still simmering there today. But Hamas was able then to take that land, and Jewish settlements were broken up. The Jewish settlers moved out of the Gaza Strip. The Hamas terrorist organization moved in. They set up training centers to train their terrorists. They also were able to put up factories to develop these missiles that they fired into Israel yesterday. Quite significant, I do believe. While the process of the peace treaties being signed at the White House going on, at the same time, Hamas was firing rockets into Israel, missiles, try to say, we're not going to accept this any way, shape, or form.
My, that's very interesting. So that hostility continues. Dr. DeYoung, I saw another item of significance at me, and that is Israel's not surrendering any land for this. Is Israel?
Well, you know, that's really exciting because about 15 years ago, when the Prime Minister Netanyahu came to power, he said, I don't like this phrase, land for peace. He said, how about peace for peace? And that indeed is what he was talking about when he made his speech there at the peace signing ceremony at the White House. He was talking about peace for peace, and that's exactly what. We see no land being given over to anybody for the capability of confirming this peace agreement between the two Arab states and the state of Israel. So peace for peace is a new phase, and that's what Netanyahu was talking about for the future of the Middle East, and that's really exciting.
It really is. Now, friends, we're going to talk just a couple more minutes about some of the mechanics of what was going on, and in our next segment, get into the prophetic significance. But Dr. DeYoung, President Trump, he called this the dawn of a new Middle East, and he also said that this would form the foundation for a comprehensive peace across the entire region. Those are significant statements.
Well, they are. And let me just remind everybody, you've got to remember, in that first year of the reign, the administration for Donald Trump, where was his first foreign visit to? It was to Saudi Arabia. And there he flew into Saudi Arabia. They set up all 50 of the Islamic and Arab leaders, and they came in to meet and talk with Donald Trump. That was the genesis of this whole thing, and the statements you just have mentioned, which Donald Trump gave yesterday at the peace treaty signing. So it is interesting to see this developing. It's not something that fell off the turnip truck last night. They've been working on it for 3 years at least, and Jared Kushner doing an excellent job. He is the architect of how this thing came together, of course, at the direction of his father-in-law.
And right now, President Trump's saying, hey, there's more to come. There's more nations to come. And they're talking 5-6 other countries. Do we have any hint as to who these are, what's happening?
Well, Jim, there are 23 Arab countries, plus the Islamic countries that you'd have to look at. You may want to explain that in the next segment. But what we see, and I have to speculate here, I have no inside information. I would suggest Oman may be one of the next couple. And then the Sudan has been talking about it publicly. Some of their leaders are denying, some of them are confirming it. It's going to happen. But I guess the biggest prize in the Middle East would be for Saudi Arabia to get on the peace train and come together and develop relations with the Jewish state, sign a peace treaty.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today. His website, prophecytoday.com. That's prophecytoday.com. We're talking about the Abraham Accords. And folks, we're going to be delving into the prophetic significance of this, even into this next segment. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with 8 legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Well, friends, I hope your eyes are gazing heavenward. Interesting times in which we live. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung is with us today. His website, prophecytoday.com. Prophecytoday.com. Dr. DeYoung, before we continue our discussion, what you saw, how did this impact you personally yesterday?
I've got to tell you, Jim, I was sitting in my living room watching Fox News and the live telecast from the White House. And as those men got up to speak, as the president introduced them, as they signed those treaties, tears were just streaming out of my eyes. And I'm a Baptist, but I'm a Pentecostal, and I almost got up and started running and shouting. But this is so exciting. I did another radio broadcast across the nation just earlier today. And with that host on that talk program, we were talking about where we are in God's time.
Yeah.
And both of us, we're not feelings guy. I take the fact from the Word of God. By faith, I put my faith in that fact to understand what God's doing. And then if the feeling comes, praise the Lord, I get excited about it.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, I've got the fact, I've got the faith, a feeling is coming, tears streaming out of my eyes. And as we're talking even today, I'm almost getting a little bit teary-eyed as well. This is an exciting time. I love how you introduced this segment. Keep your eyes focused on the heavenly.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, just a side note here, for those in southeast Wisconsin and across the VCY network, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, he's on the road right now. Where is he heading? He's heading to Milwaukee. He's coming to our area as this Saturday night he's going to be speaking at a VCY rally, giving a panoramic prophetic prospective. He's going to giving us a chronological look through the book of Revelation and a fast-moving VCY rally, and certainly looking at current events as well. This is no doubt going to be part of his discussion, but it's a new time, new location. It's going to be at 6 p.m. for this event, and due to the restrictions in the auditorium we normally use, we're going to be utilizing the facilities of Brookside Baptist Church. We will be broadcasting this event over the VCY American Network this Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time, and looking forward to having many join us by way of radio, as well as those who can join us in person. Dr. DeYoung, in the last segment, and here before we get into the prophetic side of things, you mentioned that you were hoping we could talk about the Arab countries versus Islamic countries. Now, many people equate these as being one of the same, but they really are not, are they?
They are not the same, Jim. That's a great point. And if you're a student of Bible prophecy, you need to recognize that as well. I don't care who you are, though, but when you're looking at current events happening in our world, you need to understand the terminology that is being used. There are 23 Arab countries, and what makes them an Arab country? They speak Arabic, that's the language of the Arab nations, and they are of the Islamic faith. So that would make a nation an Arab nation. And that's what we have to look at, those 23 Arab nations. The ones who have signed peace treaties with Israel are four, right now, Arab nations. And then there are other Islamic nations, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Indonesia. Those are Islamic nations, but they're not Arab because they do not speak the Arabic language. So you have 23 Arab nations. That's about almost half a billion people in those different nations, and they all surround the Jewish state of Israel. And then not too far away, you have the Islamic nations. So when you hear those terms, recognize what they're talking about. That helps you better understand what is going on.
Dr. DeYoung, so many of these things, we sometimes feel like a patchwork quilt, or they take a patch here, sew them together for the completed quilt. And we know that there's coming a time, a future time, in which there's going to be a peace treaty with under one scripture refers to as the Antichrist. So we see these different patches of things happening today. What is the prophetic significance of what we saw take place yesterday with the promise of more to come here in the future?
Well, let's think about a couple of verses just for a moment. I thought this morning about 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think it's verse 5 where it says, when you see peace and safety, and they're talking about peace and safety. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh, and sudden destruction is going to come. I think that lays out the exact events happening as they are and moving into the future. Now, you were referring to the Antichrist. I'd have to take you then over to the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27. Here's what that verse says. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, let me describe who he is. That would be the Antichrist from that passage in Daniel chapter 9. He shall confirm. By the way, that does not say he will sign a peace treaty. That word confirm in the Hebrew is gabar, G-A-B-A-R. And that word means confirm, strengthen, or make stronger, not to sign a peace treaty. Many, many prophecy teachers talk about when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty. He will never sign a peace treaty. He will confirm that treaty with Israel and her neighbors, with many. He, the Antichrist, confirms a covenant, a treaty with many, the neighbors of Israel and the Jewish state. And then that really actually starts the clock ticking on the tribulation period. Now, when you think about that, you have to understand that 7-year period of time, which is yet in the future, will begin when the peace treaties are confirmed. People say, wait a minute, all these peace treaties, we're moving away from the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I don't think so. I believe we're moving at warp speed towards the prophetic scenario laid out in God's Word to be fulfilled. You see, I read the last chapter, Jim, and when you read about these nations, these Arab nations and our Islamic nations like Kosovo, and Serbia come on board, you're looking at nations with peace agreements or a relationship with Israel, but they're all going to fall apart. I know. That's what God's Word said. You know, current events are not absolute. God's Word yes. is absolute.
Yes.
And when they fall apart, Antichrist comes on the scene.
Now, we've seen as kind of a, what, fake peace before? I mean, didn't we have the Oslo Accords with then Israel's Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat?
Yes, sir. That was the Oslo Accord. And now, that's not a Arab nation there, but it's one of three peace treaties, 1979, under Menachem Begin when he was Prime Minister, Jimmy Carter as President, Anwar Sadat. They met at Camp David. They were in Maryland, and they then put together the Camp David Accords, which is a peace treaty between Israel and Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1979. 1993, that was the time of the signing of the Oslo Accords, and that was a peace agreement with not another nation, but with a people, the Palestinian people. And you're correct, it was Yitzhak Rabin, it was Bill Clinton, and Yasser Arafat, again at the White House, same location where the ceremony took place yesterday. They signed the Oslo Accord, and of course Arafat, after he left the White House, said, I did that only to set up the Israelis so we could attack them. In 1994, October the 26th, and I remember the date because my wife Judy and I were at that peace treaty signing there in the Arava, which is the southern end of the Jordan Valley down near the Red Sea. The King Hussein of Jordan, then King of Jordan, came together with Bill Clinton, who put that together, and Yitzhak Rabin again, and they signed the Jordanian-Israeli peace agreement. So those two were on the table. You add the Oslo Accords, but it doesn't fit into the peace agreements with a nation.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a nation called Palestine, and that is a part of the problem, in fact, even today. But that makes four, then. You have Egypt, you have Jordan, and then you have the UAE and Bahrain.
Okay, but what you're saying is that, prophetically speaking, these things are going to fall apart sometime.
Absolutely. In fact, you can look at what's going on in Jordan right now. The Muslim Brotherhood, the son of King Hussein, who signed that agreement, is now the leader of the country of Jordan. The Muslim Brotherhood would like to take him out of office. They want to take over Jordan. And the fact is that they are telling him he has to negate that peace agreement. And in fact, there are those in the legislature there in Jordan who are trying to do exactly that, negate. So what started out great, in fact, one of the great things about that Jordanian-Israeli peace agreement, it allowed Jewish people to go to Petra. God has a special plan for Petra and the Jewish people. So that was exciting at the beginning, but it's needing normalization today. It's not normalized. It's falling apart. And that's exactly in Egypt. You have to look the same way. There's a better relationship between Egypt and Israel, but they're really not on the good terms. So these previous two Arab peace agreements seemingly need some confirmation today. We're all excited about the UAE and Bahrain. They're going to, when they stop to think about what they've done, and when they realize the Islamic world is going to put pressure on them to go after the Jewish state, they're going to fall apart. All of them are going to fall apart, according to Daniel 9:27.
Even the one that the one Antichrist confirms, that too is going to fall apart, is it not?
Well, it certainly will, because he's doing that also. Remember over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verses 8 and 11, it talks about when the Jewish people are dwelling safely in the land. Verse 11 says, when they're living in unwalled villages. That's what happens when this peace agreement, the Antichrist confirms, the Jewish people think, well, he's the Messiah, he's come, he promised peace, we're living in peace, we can lay down our defensive weapons, we don't have to worry about this anymore. That's when that alignment of Arab and Islamic nations come together, attack the Jewish people. So that final Antichrist confirmation of the peace treaty, it's going to fall apart as well.
You know, it's amazing to me with the historic nature of what transpired yesterday and certainly the prophetic significance. CNN downplayed this whole matter with a large crowd and little social distancing taking place. I mean, I just had a laugh as to, you know, you deny the significance of what's going on and complaining about, you know, the lack of social distancing.
Jim, I actually went on the CNN website last evening, and I was totally surprised. The lead story was not this peace treaty signing. It's the number one event in the world yesterday.
Yeah.
I looked down. I finally got to something that they said about it, but that was a negative report as well. I cannot believe those people. I don't understand what's wrong with them. Why can't they just simply tell the truth instead of being a propaganda machine?
Dr. DeYoung, let me ask you this. As pro-Israel as President Trump is, the latest poll of American Jews shows Joe Biden leading Donald Trump on an approximate 2-to-1 margin. Why is that?
Well, because most of the Jews still in America, they are a secular type of Jew. They are the Jew that really, they're Jew in name only. Maybe their mother was a Jew, so that makes them a Jew. Most of the religious or the spiritual Jews have moved already to Israel. They made Aliyah. They immigrated to the land of Israel because that's what they see God's word telling them to do. So the Jews you have left here in America are the secular persuasion, and they are not looking at biblical or spiritual events that are unfolding or people that are leading the country, or even, in fact, what Donald Trump is doing for the Jewish state. Again, they are not waking up to what is unfolding, and I think they need to get aware of what's happening. They're going to ultimately, the Bible tells us that after the rapture of the church, 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed, and that is going to be a terrible time of slaughter. It's going to be the worst Holocaust this nation have ever had, and they're going to be rushing to get to that safe haven in Israel. They need to wake up to that truth today.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today. We're talking about the Abraham Accords signed yesterday. A couple more questions before we open phone lines, so stay tuned. Be ready with your questions when we say go. His website is prophecytoday.com. And speaking this weekend for the VCY rally, you can get info at vcyamerica.org. Back in a minute.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free, or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today. His website, prophecytoday.com. We're talking about the Abraham Accord signed yesterday and its significance. And in a moment, we'll be opening lines. But Dr. DeYoung, I'd like to ask you about an anniversary, an event coming up this weekend. Friday, September 18th at sunset begins Rosh Hashanah. What is this day? What is its significance?
Well, let's take the word of the holy day itself, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh is the new, or you can translate it chief, and then Shana is year. So the chief part of the year or the new year. Now, this is the seventh Jewish month, Tishri, on this Friday at sundown, and that would be the beginning of the new year. It will be 5781, 5,781 years ago. The Jewish people believe that God created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. So that's Rosh Hashanah. But on that same day, on Friday evening into Saturday, up to sundown, you're looking at the Feast of Trumpets. There are three feasts in the fall. There are four in the spring, and there are three feasts in the fall. The first one would be Feast of Trumpets, the same day as Rosh Hashanah. And then 10 days later, you have Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish lifestyle. And then 5 days after that, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. So these will be the three feasts that are in this next month, starting on the 19th. And interestingly, Prime Minister Netanyahu, on returning to Israel, made the statement that they're going to have to lock down because of the unbelievable pandemic that's going on in Israel from the coronavirus. There are so many people that are contacting coronavirus. Many are dying, not as many as the rest of the world, but many are dying. So he is going to lock down all of the state of Israel for a three-week period of time, which is basically going to cover those holy days. Now, on Saturday evening, I'm going to talk about the significance of those activities that take place during these Jewish holy days, because we will be on the Feast of Trumpets, we'll be on Rosh Hashanah, the day that we begin our time together at the VCY rally there in Milwaukee. So I hope everybody can come. I could give my big surprise right now, but I'd rather save it to them.
Save it.
And let those people that come have the advantage of hearing what the Word of God teaches.
Okay, our phone lines are open here to Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. We'll take your questions or brief comments today, 800-733-9829. Dr. DeYoung, I hear a sense, an air of excitement in your voice as you talk about these things.
I can't hardly contain myself. You know, I had to pull over off the road because we are traveling on our way to Milwaukee. And we, you know, only have a certain time we can do it. Crosstalk came on at that particular time.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of a McDonald's here in Kentucky. And the people around us are looking, and I'm waving my hands and everything else. My wife, Judy, seated behind me. She's trying to hold me down so I don't get out and start running the parking lot. But there is excitement in my life, and there should be excitement in your life if you understand Bible prophecy and see what is unfolding in our world today.
Let's go to John in Dallas, Texas. John, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I totally agree with Dr. DeYoung. You know, Jimmy's, I've always agreed completely with him. The statement, I don't know if I misunderstood it, where he said that the Arab nation is not the children of Abraham, but Ishmael obviously is a child of Abraham. Now, that's, you know, the 3,500 years up until Muhammad in 666 AD with the Islam religion, but can you clear that up for me?
Thank you, John.
Yeah, let me clear that up for you. Technically speaking, you have to say that Abraham did father Ishmael, but Ishmael established, go to Genesis 17 and verse 20, God meeting with Abraham said, your son Ishmael will establish one nation. When you go to the 25th chapter of Genesis, you see that nation geographically described where Ishmael went to live is Arabia. That is the only nation he established. So therefore, he did not establish the Arab world. He fathered one man who fathered one nation. The Arab world, that phrase is kind of it's a misnomer as well when you call them Arab nations. Arab means Bedouin. Arab means nomad in the Arabic language. And you're not talking about all of these people, these Islamic people, the Islamic religion there in the Middle East, and all of these 23 so-called Arab nations. You're not talking about them as being nomads. You're not talking about them as being Bedouins. So that's exactly how it came. Technically, you could say Abraham fathered Ishmael, Ishmael fathered Saudi Arabia. And, of course, we know Saudi Arabia today is where the Islamic faith came from, and there are that's where Muhammad was, and there are the two major cities, major sacred spots, there in Saudi Arabia itself, Mecca and Medina. And so we understand that. But well, you cannot say that he fathered the Arab nations. If you'll trace in the Word of God from Genesis chapter 10, also chapter 12, and moving forward from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, he fathered the Jewish world. But, you know, on that technicality, you can say he fathered one Arab nation, but not all of the Arab world.
Let's go to Zoe in Champaign, Illinois. You're on the air, Zoe.
Hi, Jimmy. I'm a little confused about the nations involved in this peace agreement that are being brought on board. What I think is fascinating is I think you know, you would have expected at one time that maybe Turkey would be among them, but it's not. And you wouldn't have expected Egypt to, in a way, because they've been at war with Israel for so much of the time. And yet, in the Bible, when it talks about this the nations that are going to come against Israel, I think Egypt's not among them, and some of these other countries are not among them, but Turkey is. And it's interesting to me how they're lining up just like the Bible said they would. And I didn't hear the first part of the program, and I apologize. So if I'm going over old ground, I'm sorry.
Well, number one, Egypt is a part of that alignment of nations. You looked at Ezekiel chapter 38, and it does mention a number of nations that will be in that alignment that will come against the Jewish state of Israel. You also have to go over into Psalm chapter 83, where you see there in verse 6, it mentions the Ishmaelites, and we've just been talking about that, so that means Saudi Arabia. In verse 7, it talks about Tyre and Sidon, which would be modern-day Lebanon. Those nations are not mentioned over there in Ezekiel 38. But when you go to Daniel chapter 11, starting in verse 40, it talks about the king of the north, and then it says the king of the south. If you'll go back in chapter 11 of the book of Daniel to verse 5, you'll start to read about the king of the north and who that is geographically. That would be Egypt, and then the king of the south geographically would be Egypt. I'm sorry, Syria is the king of the north, and Egypt is the king of the south. So those nations, you have to go to all three of those passages of Scripture, Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 to 45, and that's where Egypt and also Syria are listed.
Thank you, Zoe. We're going to Meredith in Spencer, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes. Dr. DeYoung, when will we begin to see God's hooks in the nation's jaws? And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I think we're beginning to see that right now, dear lady. I want to tell you something. The Dead Sea is being used to be refilled by the Red Sea. It's called the Red Dead Project. And they do believe that what they are going to see happen right there in the Dead Sea is the gold that has filtered down through the rainstorms over some 4,500 years, and that gold in the Dead Sea there in Israel can be taken out. They're taking the minerals out. They're taking the phosphates out to make fertilizer, etc. But there has just been another discovery about oil there in the Middle East. They found oil off the coast of Israel there in the Mediterranean, a natural gas type of oil, petroleum type product, and they're looking for the rest of it there in Israel. This is unbelievable. I do believe that will be the hook in the jaw of those people in Ezekiel there, chapter 38, drawing them into the land.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us. ProphecyToday.com is the site. ProphecyToday.com. Kevin is next in Richland Center, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Kevin.
I'm following this for quite a few years, but the Lord directed me to Isaiah chapter 9, parallel to 9-11. If you go to verses 11 and 12 and 13 in Isaiah, if the Philistines would be the Chinese, Putin staged out of Syria right now, because verse 12 says the Syrians from the east and the Philistines from the west, and where the United States sits at that. So if the Philistines can be connected to the Chinese coming across the Pacific, and you've got the subs of Russian subs coming out of Syria and Russia occupation there, and you've got nuclear subs in the Atlantic, you can see the parallel there in chapter 9 and even in verse 11 and verse 10.
I tell you what, before you go on there, Kevin, do you see any parallel there, Dr. DeYoung?
I would have to respectfully disagree with our dear brother. Mm-hmm. That is not what those passages in Isaiah are talking about. And, of course, I'm glad you pull a stop to his teaching, taking our program over here. I don't mean to be unkind, but we don't have time to get into that. If he wants to interact with some of my staff, he can contact us at prophecytoday.com.
Okay. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I believe Trump is Pence and Pompeo in his corner. My question is this, and my question is to Jimmy DeYoung. Do you think in your heart of hearts, do you think that they have conveyed to him the prophecy that's coming down the pike, you know, pertaining to Israel and all of end-time prophecy, that he has any inkling from a vertical perspective, or is he just sort of muddling through what I would consider a horizontal perspective?
Thank you, Mark.
Well, let me ask you, who is the him there? You're talking about Donald Trump? They've conveyed to him.
You still there, Mark?
No, what I was saying that...
Who's the him? Who's the him you referred to?
What I'm saying is...
somebody has conveyed to him these prophetic truths. Who was the him? Is that
Pence.
Donald Trump?
Pompeo and Pence is influencing Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. I do know and I do believe that the Vice President, Mike Pence, and also the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, are born-again men. I pray for them. My wife and I pray each night for them to keep true to their testimony at this very hard, difficult time to do that. Now, as it relates to whether they have been able to convey to Donald Trump these truths, I am not aware that either one of these men are very prophetically knowledgeable of what is going on. I would hope and pray they might be. I just don't know. But let me give you a wonderful verse over in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 17, where it says that the Lord God himself will put in the hearts and minds of political leaders to make decisions to fulfill his will.
Wow.
If anything, I believe Donald Trump is being influenced by the Lord himself to do the things that will fulfill the will of God.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. We're up against a break. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829, and we'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. America is headed toward a color revolution. What is a color revolution? A color revolution is often carried out in countries to remove a leader who is deemed to be, well, illegitimate. He's often described as an authoritarian, a fascist, a dictator, a criminal, a racist. The color revolutions have often been carried out, even with the support of our Central Intelligence Agency, in other countries. I contend, and do many others, that a color revolution is now being laid here in America. And a big part of a color revolution is a political warfare agenda. And another word for political warfare is brainwashing, psychological information, propaganda, lies. You're hearing it now. You're hearing the lies being laid down about this election and about President Trump. Do your homework. Understand the narrative is being laid for a color revolution.
Very interesting times in which we live, friends. Yesterday, what was called the Abraham Accords signed at the White House. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, we stopped him along the road. He's traveling here to Milwaukee to join us this Saturday night for a VCY rally. Again, that's 6 p.m. Central Time. For those traveling to the area for this, we'll be utilizing the facilities of Brookside Baptist Church. We so appreciate their making their facilities available to us. More info at vcyamerica.org, where we'll be streaming this as well through that, as well as the VCY America app. We have Brad calling in from West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, brothers. You mentioned that Ishmael sired the country of physically Arabia, and that's one Arab country, but not the entire Arab world. Did the rest of the Arab world come from Abraham and his second wife, Keturah?
No, we're talking about people. Abraham had a lot of children. He wasn't doing what God told him to do in Genesis chapter 2 and just marry one wife. So he was not faithful to the Lord as that obedience was concerned. But when you study God's word, you've got to look at the line of Abraham as it relates to Isaac and Jacob. These were the two sons of promise. Isaac, the son of promise, Jacob, the son of promise. And God was going to bring the Jewish people for a special purpose onto the earth. And so that is key. Now, as it relates to the Arab world, if you'll remember what I said about Genesis 10, there were already peoples going to the nations from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that, especially from Ham, that would be Arab nations today. And so it's a combination of all the children that Abraham would have had, but the main line that you want to study as it relates to the Word of God and Bible prophecy is the line through Isaac and Jacob, the Jewish people today.
Okay. I just have one last question. Doesn't Russia also have a treaty with the United Arab Emirates, or no?
No, I don't know about that. They may well have it. This is a major, it's the number one most economically powerful part of the entire Middle East. There are seven kingdoms. It's the United Arab Emirates. Emirates means kingdom. And there are seven of these Arab kingdoms that have come together. That's where Dubai is. That's where Dubai is located. This is a very financially prominent place in the Middle East, and that's exciting. So I don't know for sure if Russia does have a treaty with them. They may well.
Hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's go to Kennewick, Washington. Dot, you're on the air.
Yes. When you began your program, a scripture came to mind. Men will cry peace, and there will be no peace.
Hmm.
And it's falling right into place.
Yep, and that's thank you for that. Dr. DeYoung, you referred to that earlier in the interview. Peace, and watch out, because then comes sudden destruction.
And your redemption draws nigh.
And your redemption draws nigh.
That part of that.
Amen.
As well. I love what you said. You introduced, I think, the second segment. Hey, folks, hope your eyes are focused on
right,
the heavenly.
Right, indeed. Thank you, Dot. Toledo calling in from Brownfield, Texas. You're on the air.
You've already answered my other question.
Okay.
I was going to talk about 25 chapter, but also the pride of a lot of the people of Islam are the descendants of Abraham. But it also says in the Bible that the Jews are the descendants, are they going to live with their brothers. So their pride is that some of them are descended to Abraham through his other wife. And thank you.
Thank you, Toledo. Yeah, we had covered those answers quite extensively earlier. David in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I like the comments about Pence and Pompano, I think is his name.
Pompeo. Mm-hmm.
Pompeo, yeah. The thing that I think we really need to be praying for is I feel like there's a lot of people influencing Trump who, you know, are essentially there's a lot of evil men. And it, in Proverbs it talks about if a king hearkens to the voice of evil men, the nation will fall. And I believe that we really need to be praying that God will bring some godly men to be advisors, closer advisors to Trump, to give him a biblical perspective about where things are at, because he's being influenced, I feel, in a very negative way by guys like Fauci and Gates' agenda and stuff like that. He needs men who are going to be there to pray for him, kind of like the Daniels were for Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus.
Thank you, David. I'm going to have Dr. DeYoung comment on this aspect of godly advisors.
Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 1 to 4, first of all, before we pray for the missionary, the evangelist, the pastor, pray for those in higher authority. So I think that fits in to what our dear brother was saying. Mm-hmm. I would agree with him 100%. Let's pray for godly men to come and influence him, not the men of the world. I am praying every day for Donald Trump to get saved. I don't believe he's saved, and he would not act like he does. He would not use the Lord's name in vain if he was. I do agree he makes political decisions that are biblical. However, we need to pray for Donald Trump to get saved. Then we need to pray for those men who know Jesus Christ, know the Word of God, like Mike Pence, like Mike Pompeo, to influence him and help him make proper decisions. But remember that verse in Revelation 17, God will put in his heart those things he needs to do to fulfill the Word of God.
Thank you, David, for the call. We're going to squeeze one last question in. Bob in Cambridge, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I was just curious if you had any comments about them requesting to blow the shofar on the Feast of Trumpets on the Temple Mount.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, that's a great question. See, that blowing of the shofar is supposed to be to recognize creation at the place where it took place. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem is the location of the original site of the Garden of Eden, the place of creation. And I have seen 15 to 20,000 men with shofars and or trumpets blowing it. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. It's the celebration of creation from 5,781 years ago.
The government
has not approved it yet, but they're going to be standing at the same time all across the nation blowing their shofars.
Thank you, Bob, for that. Our time is gone. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us here today, prophecytoday.com. And again, Dr. DeYoung, scripture says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's quite significant.
Well, it certainly is, and that means, you see, there's not going to be real peace. We've been talking about a pseudo-peace. There's not going to be real peace until Jesus the Messiah comes. So when you pray that verse in Psalm, you're praying for the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you for pulling over on the side of the road. Looking forward to having you here on Saturday evening.
Yes, sir. Keep looking up. That rapture could happen today.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, the website prophecytoday.com. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.